Yeah, so even though I'm up here, there is still youth going on right now, middle school and high school students. Brad and Heidi and Allie and those guys are back there ready for you. So you can leave so we don't bore you. That'd be awesome. They'd love to have you back there. Great times back there today.
It's a lot of students.
That's awesome. Yeah. Miss you. Can I go?
No. Good morning.
I'm such a hard boss.
If you're visiting with us today, we're sure glad you're here. Know that this is not something we normally do. Those of you guys who are part of our church family understand that. This is the one time out of the year where we sit down and we talk a little bit about the state of the church. See, we believe that it's important for each of us to pause and to take a look at the condition or the state of our lives, as well as to pause and take a look at the state or condition maybe of your marriage, and certainly to pause and to take a considerate and consider the state of your church. And we want you to do that. How are we doing? What do we need to do better? We don't have all the answers. But Lord willing, if you join us and pray with us and partner with us, we're going to be able to do great things. Not for us. This isn't about us. It's about how God can be glorified in our community. So this isn't what we normally do, but just to help you understand, this is like a family meeting, if you will, like you'd have at home, sit down in the living room, talk about a little bit of stuff about what you accomplished. You guys need to know that. And so if you're new or visiting here, this is good for you because you'll be able to see where our heart beats and you'll be able to see where our desire lies, what kind of impact we're trying to make in our community. And if you've been a regular here, you'll see where your dollars have went. You'll see where our passions are for this upcoming year and what we plan on teaching and that sort of a thing. So I hope you'll be encouraged. I hope you'll give us peace. Give us grace. We don't usually do this. And I hope God will give us peace and you grace. But we don't normally do this, so bear with us here as we go into this topic today.
Obviously, every year when we sit down and talk about the upcoming year, we have to try to take a look at where do we believe as a leadership in the church, both staff and elders, as far as where is God sending us? What is God calling us to do? What is He calling us to be involved in? There's a lot of things you can do in a church, and a lot of them are really good. But one of the things we have to be conscious of and listen to God telling us is what should we be doing? Where should we be headed? And one of the boundaries or the parameters, I guess, that we have for ourselves as we move forward is what we call our mission statement. Most people have those. Most churches have a mission statement. And basically what that says is, what is your church all about? Well, our mission statement has been the same for the last few years. It's pretty much on that big wall back there. When you walk in the lobby, you see it on the wall. But it is to be a community of Christ followers who are seeking the lost, who are growing in Christ and loving one another. So to seek and to grow and to love. And so as we start to think about where God is sending us and what He's asking us to do, we're always looking at it from that scope of things as far as, is this going to help us seek people who are lost in our community and then hopefully help reach them? Is it going to help us to grow in Christ, to become stronger and more knowledgeable in the Word of God? And we always try to strive for that. Always teach from the Word of God exactly what He says. It's not about our opinions. It's about what God's Word has to tell us. And then finally, to love. And you'll see that that's all over this state of the church today, this whole topic of love. Loving God and loving all those who are around us, loving our community, loving people who are in need, and reaching out and being the hands and feet of God. So I want to read a passage to you that we really use as our guide. And it comes out of Matthew chapter 22, starting at verse 37. It says, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment." But then he goes on to say, "And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law of the prophets hang on these two commands." These two commands really are one big command, and that is for us to love God and to love those people that He has placed under our in our flock. And so we take that very seriously, and it affects everything that we do here inside the walls of this church and outside the walls of the church. And I know, Jeff is going to share with us, though, some of the things that actually happen when a church follows this mission statement, when a church actually does these things, how it affects the community.
Well, our hope and our desire is that each of us would go out and do our part in the community. You work next to people. You live next to people. Perhaps you live with people who don't have a relationship with Christ. And so it's up to us to be seeking those who are lost, to seek those who don't know him, perhaps strayed away from him, that sort of a thing. We need to have eyes that constantly, continually look and watch out for people like that. And then we have to have the desire to grow, though, ourselves. We, you know, people can't do the work for you. No one can do the work for me. We have to be diligent about that. So growing in the Lord is something we never reach that point. We never arrive. It's a constant daily thing where we surrender, where we try to get better, where we try to learn more. And we hope that each one of our you guys are doing that as well. And then that last part, that love one another, is something that the truth is the community doesn't care about what we believe here or what we do, or unless they know that we care about them. And so we have to do that. We have to live that out. We have to model that. And so I hope as you work next to people, as you live next to people, I hope that they know that you're a person. I hope they see Christ through you because you love them, because you're there for them, maybe to pray with them, maybe just to encourage them, maybe to support them. That's what missions is. We think missions is foreign soil or going to the mountains, the Appalachians, or going to a reserve in the Dakotas. Or missions is everywhere we go. There's broken, there's hurting, there's struggling people everywhere we go, and it's up to you and I to love them, to provide for them, to care for them. That was God's desire for your life and for mine, and that's what we try to do here as the body of Christ. We don't take it lightly. That seek, that grow, and that love is something we want you to take with you. We want you to do every single day. But missions, understand, missions is something that all of us are called to do. Every single one of us are missionaries. It's just a matter of us taking up that cross and doing that each day for the Lord. But we do have some official missionaries that we're going to talk about, missions that we support now.
Obviously, church that we, it's not all about just coming together on Sunday morning. It's about reaching out to other people. And these other people who are out there, whether it be in the community or across the ocean, they need help. They need people to come alongside of them and to support them so that they can do what God's called them to do. So obviously, one of the missionaries that we support overseas is Haiti. Is at Jacmel, Haiti. It's Calvary Church. It's Jean-Claude Pierre. We've been supporting Jean-Claude for probably 3 years now, and we'll continue to do so. Encourage you to maybe someday make a trip to Jacmel, Haiti. It's quite an experience, and you can talk to those who have, to be able to see what's going on there and the lives that are being reached. Started out with one small church, and now they have like 8 churches that they've planted in that particular area, all because of the different people that are helping support them financially. So we will continue to do that, as well as look for other missionaries that will approach us that need help. We're always looking for who we should be helping and looking for them. But there's also a mission field right here in LaPorte County. And that's important for us to understand, that there's a lot of organizations here in town that are trying to do good things, and that they need help. They need people to come alongside of them. They have churches that support them financially, and we're one of them. And we help them. We have food pantries, 3 different food pantries that we help support, all 3 that are in this county that I know of anyway. We help those food pantries on a monthly basis so that they can buy food. We also help things like Stepping Stone Ministry, Women's Care Center, First Step, the March of Dimes, Deserving Children, Relay for Life, Alzheimer's Association, the Men's Homeless Shelter in Michigan City, Operation Christmas Child, Clothesline Ministry, Lung Association, and more. And those are just some that we have listed. There's times where people approach us about one that's not on our list, but they need some temporary help, and we jump in and try to help them however we can. So it's important for you to know that the money that you give toward the church, that part of that is given back to missions. It's important that you know that we are helping these organizations in town, not just with money, but with people. Our people go and they serve at the Salvation Army. They help at Women's Care Center. They get involved in the community at the shelters. We have people doing all kinds of things out in the community to help serve God. So it's not just a matter of money, but it is something that we absolutely believe in, because if we're going to be a church that loves one another, then we have to back it up with who we support and what we do. And that's why it's so important for us to do that. But there's a lot of other ways that we help people on an ongoing basis. And Jeff's going to share some of that, some of the ways that we help people that just walk in the door on tomorrow afternoon that need help.
Yeah, if you're a regular here, you know that on the fifth Sundays when we have those, we collect what's called a benevolence offering. The benevolence fund is always available to give to, and some do that every week and or every month, and we appreciate that. It's because of you guys that we're able to make a difference in this community. There was about $11,000 given specifically for the benevolence fund. We helped about $14,000 worth of, out of the benevolence fund. Now, to understand the benevolence fund, it's outside of missions. It's outside of all these other organizations that we help. It's outside of any of that. It's practical, tangible help people coming in off the street and needing, whether they go here or not, needing gas to get to a doctor's appointment or to work, whether it's help with rent, whether it's help with their water bill to keep the water on, whether it's to keep NIPSCO paid so that they can keep their kids warm, whatever that might be, whether it's a car payment, we've helped with that, whether it's fixing a car, repairing a car, we've helped with that. We put people up in hotels because they had nowhere else to go. We provided food to them. There's other things that aren't even counted in the benevolence in the $14,000. You can't really put a price tag on because I don't know what the value is, but we've furnished people's apartments, people's houses. When I say we, I mean we. I don't mean we, I mean we. Because you guys, we put it out on Facebook or email or one of those other evil necessities, and we've gotten help back from you guys to be able to provide all kinds of beds for people and furniture and appliances and things like that, clothing. We've clothed entire families that lost everything in fires, and you can't really put a dollar amount on that throughout the year, but you need to know that because you give to that benevolence fund or you give on that fifth Sunday where we set the basket out and you come forward and you throw in that money. You need to know what that's going for, and what that's going for is the everyday, it's making life possible for people just like you, probably people who are related to you, people who you work with, people who are friends of yours, people who you went to school with, and they're coming in here because they've fallen on hard times, and because of your giving and the grace of God, we get to help them. That's really my heartbeat. Missions and benevolence are really my big deal. The whole paperwork stuff and all that kind of, I'm not into that sort of thing, but making a difference in the life, I think we have to do that every single day. As a body and as individuals, we need to do that. If we're not making a difference in our community, then we might as well close the doors. Because if they're not going to miss us, if they're not going to notice, then let's just shut down. So that's what our benevolence is all about. It's on top of missions, there's other stuff we do as far as clothing and gathering appliances and furniture, but lots of ways to help. Another way we help is called the Impact Board, and it's in the back of the building.
This board back there is located on your way back to the gym and back by Ryan's office and the youth rooms. It's just a big board on the wall, and it says Impact Ministry. What Impact Ministry is all about, though, and if you've been here a while, you probably know, but for those who haven't, I want to just update you on that. It's a ministry in which we can help each other, and not just each other, but people that are in need in our community. For example, if you have a neighbor that's maybe a widow that just can't get up and clean their gutters, and they need help, maybe you're not able to do that. If you're able to do that, then that's always the first place to start. But if you're not, then you would fill out a card, you'd put it back there on that board. And then other people in the church, they check that board on a regular basis, and they look at all the things that need to be done, and they say, hey, I can do that. That's something that I can do. I can't teach, I can't preach, I can't sing, I may not be able to greet, but you know what? I can go clean someone's gutter. And so that's the board back there in which there's two parts of that. One is being able to help those who are in need, but the other part is being able to just put people that you know, put them on that board that can get some help, that maybe need some help. So it's not just for our own people. It's for all those that you know are in need of help. And so it's a great opportunity to help people, and it's a great opportunity to serve because it gives you an opportunity to serve in a way that God's gifted you to serve. And we believe wholeheartedly that every one of us have gifts, and we have things that we can do to help others. And so this just helps us to do that. So that impact board is vital to this community if we use it properly. Right now, it's kind of slow back there. I think people have kind of forgotten. That's why we have to keep talking about it and keep reminding you that it's something that we need to be looking for. Look for opportunities to serve your neighbors, your friends, the people in need, or the people in this church that need help and just can't get it done, don't have the money to hire it out, but we have plenty of people here that want to help. And so we just ask you to give us an opportunity to do that. And I'm sure that people would really appreciate
We do the clothesline ministry back there too, which is a great thing for kids that need a coat, boots, things at school. The teachers submit them, the school submit them. You grab one off there, you just simply fulfill it, bring it back, put it underneath the table. We get it to the teacher, we get it to the school. It's an incredible way just to provide that basic practical need for a student so that they can fit in, so they can stay warm, so they can be properly dressed, whatever that might look like. That's our missions, that's our benevolence, that's our impact board, and we could go on and on about that. We'd love to talk about new ways that we can impact our community. But briefly, I want to recap our teaching from last year and then give you a little bit of insight on what we're going to be teaching next year to see if it's appealing to any of you guys. Last year, we covered some different things over the 52 weeks. We started out with the life of Christ. We looked at the Gospels, and we looked at Jesus and how he interacted with people and what he did, and we kind of went through his life in order of how he did it and what he said and how he went about things and what we could glean and what we could learn from that. Then we did a series on questions. We had a period where we had a box out in the narthex where we accepted questions from you guys. You could ask any kind of spiritual question, that is. We had some funny questions. We didn't answer those. But if you had a spiritual question...
Like, does Pastor Jeff use a computer?
Yeah, no. Yeah. I hate technology. But we had a box out there, and you could, there was papers, you could fill out a question, and we had a series where we tried to answer those for you, because we don't think there's a stupid question. We believe that if you have questions, come and ask us. I mean, we're learning until the Lord calls us home. We don't know it all. So let's do that together. But we did this question series, and don't know if we'll do that again this year or not. We're still kicking that around. But if you have questions, certainly ask us, and we'll try to address them for sure. But then we went into this person of interest. We looked in the New Testament, because last year we did the Old Testament. We went in the New Testament, and we looked for people of interest. But the interesting thing was that they weren't just people of interest. They were people of interest that weren't even named. We don't know who they were, and yet they did incredible things for the Lord. And that was probably my favorite series of last year, because it speaks to us that it's not about your education, it's not about your accomplishments, it's not about what side of the tracks you live on, it's not about your social status or how much money you make. You can do incredible things for the Lord no matter who you are, if you're willing to surrender to him and give your life to him and follow after him, chase after him with a heart that loves him. And we looked at these individuals who were people of interest because we never found out their name, and yet they impacted their community oftentimes, and they impacted the kingdom in incredible ways. And then we went into discipleship and evangelism. We wrapped up the year with that right before Advent, because there's probably not two greater things that each of us can tell ourselves every single day than discipleship and evangelism. We got to grow, and we got to share Christ with others. We got to grow, and we got to share Christ with others. If we do those two things every day, we grow ourselves and we share Christ with others, which is discipleship and evangelism. It's really that simple. We'll be making him happy. We'll be pleasing him. We'll be fulfilling his will, his calling for our lives. So that was the series we went over. That was all that we went over last year. This year, starting next week, we're kicking off a series entitled American Idols. And the truth is that we kind of mistake what an idol is, and I'm not going to go into it a lot today because we're going to talk about the next 7 or 8 weeks. But we think that an idol is some kind of maybe a golden thing that we create and we kind of bow down to, or maybe we kiss, or we do this, or we do that. An idol is typically a good thing, not a bad thing. It's just something that we've made into a bad thing because it's taking precedence over God. And we're going to go into what some of the things that you and I make into idols. In other words, what we make ahead of Christ. And so next week we're going to kick that off, and so I encourage you to be a part of that, and we'll be in that series for, like I say, probably 7 or 8 weeks. But it's an exciting time for us in the church, and excited to see what God has in store for us. But short of our teaching, there's other ways that we want people to be plugged in. There's other ways we want them to be involved, Roger.
Obviously, we learn and we grow. For one of the reasons we do that is so that we can be involved in ministry. As Jeff said earlier, we're all called to be ministers. We're all called to be people who are taking the Word of God to a community who needs it. It's not just up to us three, because if it was up to just us three, there's no way we could get that accomplished. To do ministry takes every one of us. I said earlier that every single believer has a spiritual gift. And what we hope to do is give every believer an opportunity to use their gift to serve in ministry. So we encourage people to get involved. We encourage it to be more about you know, more than just coming to church and listening to a sermon and then walking out the door and saying, okay, that's good till next week. We're glad you're here if that's what you do, and we're thankful for that opportunity we have to minister to you. But we also want to challenge all of you to do something in the form of a ministry for others. And that looks many different ways. Yeah, we have ministries within the walls of the church. We have ministries like the men's ministry, the women's ministry, the Shakers and Bakers ministry, the children's ministry, the guest service ministry. We have a lot of opportunities for you to get involved and serve. So that's never a problem, and we encourage you to take us up on those when we talk to you. Hopefully it's not a matter of us forcing you to do it. It's a matter of you being able to take advantage of something and get involved and be able to use your gifts to minister to other people. So we believe that it's vital for you to have that opportunity to get involved. We need people to do that. You know, things just don't happen just by a blink of an eye. I mean, when you come in on Sunday morning and the church is clean, or the church has tables and chairs set up, or there's coffee back there and donuts, they don't just appear. Somebody has gotten here early to make the coffee. Somebody has gotten here early to set up the tables and chairs. See, everybody can't have a ministry maybe where you can't get up in front of people and speak. That's okay. We have all kinds of ministries for people in the backgrounds, and you might not even know they do it. And so there's plenty of places for you to serve. And I know we need workers all the time in the nursery and the children's ministry especially, because people rotate in and out in those ministries. And we're thankful for you, that those of you who do that. We truly appreciate it. I know if you're a parent of a little baby, you appreciate the fact that you can drop your child off and know that they're safe and know that you can come in here and be free of having to worry about that and just being able to worship God. But that just doesn't happen automatically. People have to be willing to serve. And so that goes in every position. And as you can see, we have a lot of people doing that. And so I want to just say thank you to all of you who have so diligently taken this and served our people and serve the Lord in whatever capacity you have. So we're just thankful for that. But there's plenty of opportunities for everybody to get involved. And one of the ministries that we haven't talked about yet, but I'm excited about, I know both Pastor Jeff and I and the church and the leadership, we're truly excited to have Ryan and Heidi here. Ryan comes to us with many years of experience in this field of student ministry, many gifts that God's given him, and we're just really excited about what he's going to be doing through God's help down there with our teens. And so, Ryan, why don't you just share some of your dreams and your thoughts with us?
Well, thanks, Raj. And one of the key things that I've noticed and I've been working a lot on is, you don't just start a student ministry with nothing. You start a student ministry on purpose, with a theological and a philosophical and a foundational element to everything that you do. And so a lot of the questions that I've had over the last few months is, why do the youth do this, or why has the church chosen this, and why has the church chosen that? And we haven't made a ton of changes, maybe just little things here, but coming from a theological background, there's a couple things that in our student ministry we want to make sure that we hit. First of all, a lot of kids start coming to, a lot of people start coming to church when they're teenagers and younger. In fact, the majority of people who have a conversion experience do so before they're 18 years of age. Somewhere in the 80% that the first time that you were introduced to Christ was when you were that age. Now, there's a gap between when the student graduates from high school up until they're about 29, 30, and they start their own family, where they just kind of have this exodus from the church, and we don't see them so much. So one of our goals is to create a student ministry where first people can bump into Jesus that might not have ever met him before, and where you can just come and see. So come and see him in. What we want to do is create an atmosphere where if you're a young person, you can belong long before you believe, and even if you don't believe, you still will always belong here with us. And so part of that, we do that through three components: through reaching, through discipling, and through empowering our students. So there's going to be some programmatic kind of shifts in our student ministry, but all on purpose and all for a key reason. Many of the high school parents have received a letter, junior high, yours' parents, it's coming soon, but one of the things that we want to do is we want to be able to have a high school student, when they come here, we're going to create this year what, and you in education know what this is, but it's called a scope and a sequence. And so by this fall, I'll have a scope and a sequence for a student, so if they start with us when they're in sixth grade, all the way through their senior in high school, you'll have an idea of everything we're going to teach them, because we want them to create a faith that makes them into a lifelong follower of Christ, and a faith that can stand up in the halls of academia. So when they go and they encounter those people and they have those really hard questions that you and I even encounter, when somebody says, there is no God, science has proven there's no God, how does our students confront that? How, right now they're in the back talking about creation and the creation stories and why that's important against a culture that might teach, you know, some other kinds of things. So right now in the high school group on Sunday nights, we're in the middle of a series called Deeper, and we're answering those questions, or we're starting to talk about what is truth. You know, what does the Bible say about homosexuality? You know, I do this all the time. I always ask the students, what are the things that you want to learn, you know, here? And I try to take that feedback into account. Whenever I do that, I always get the same three responses. They want to know about sex, and of course, we'll phrase it in a biblical context. So they want to know sex. They want to know about end times. And then they want to know, will there be sex during the end times? So... Sorry if that upsets you.
You're going to tell us the answer?
No, you've got to come to youth group to find out that answer. If that upsets you, you can email me at jeffziegler@hotmail.com. And I'd be happy to respond. Oh, where was I? ADD. Oh, look, birds. Scope and sequence. Another thing that we want to do is we want to help our youth have an atmosphere of worship. And so we're going to start creating this thing on Sunday mornings at 10:30 where we can address some of these topics with them. Instead of just part of the hour, they'll be back there during the whole hour, learning worship, learning how to share a communion. They will become the teachers, you know, and I'll work with them so that they get leadership skills early on, so when they come into the church, they're not forgotten about, but there's a smooth transition and seamless between the youth and the church ministry. So that's very important. So we're repurposing a lot. We're developing a student worship band eventually to help lead us in that worship and components. So we really want to see that happen. I've talked with Sue and some of the people about that, about how we make that happen. And another thing I want to do is improve communications with the home. I'm a very open person. My door is always open. It takes a lot to ruffle my feathers. And I would love to hear, you know, what your heart is, what your desire is. If you have a high school student or a junior high student or a grandchild, or you know somebody, or you wonder, do our youth talk about this? Do our students do that? Please email me, call me, contact me. I'd love to sit down and chat with you and all that. So a couple of the things that we're doing this year in that is to create this attitude of service within our group. Our high school students, some people know this, the whole church probably doesn't at large, but we'll be going to Puerto Rico in June with our group, and we're going to serve, to create this element of service. But we don't drive by the mission field on the way to the mission field. So regularly, every 4, 6, 8 weeks, our students are going to be out in the community serving, doing those things and getting fired up about helping others. Not that we have to do this, but we get to do this. So when you drive by and you see a bunch of kids shoveling a yard, you might be able to go, that's our student ministry. Or when you see kids, you know, helping rake yards. When we did that back in October, we hit 14 different houses in our family where our youth just raked the yards of people who needed it. That's the kind of group we wanna create here. So our middle schoolers, we'll start working on a project for them in the summer. But those are some of my big dreams. And if you go back into the youth room, you're going to see some construction and some change already. They've started, Jeff and his team, not this Jeff, the one who works construction, Jeff. No offense, but they've built the shell of a coffee bar, so we're going to have that back there and tables and chairs so that our students spend more time sitting around tables and talking and engaging in faith, the Bible, and life in a real and practical way.
Absolutely. Lots of ways to get involved, and as he said, he would love to have you help out with youth. I know our Midweek Faith Weavers would love to have you involved helping out with them as well. If you go here, if you're a member here, if you're a regular here, we want you to help. And more than that, God expects you to get involved. If you're kicking the tires, if you're trying us out, if you're just seeing what we're all about, if you land here, we're going to want you to help, and God expects you to help. If you don't land here, wherever you land, find a church and land there and help. That was God's plan for you. He gave you gifts and talents and abilities to use for His glory. We're better together than we ever could be apart. We can accomplish so much more with the strength of many than we can by ourselves. Getting involved also helps us personally in a lot of ways. It helps grow us. It helps encourage us. When you're a part of a group, it helps hold us accountable, and we all need that. And we find support, and we stay connected, and we stay smaller even as we grow. When you have a ministry, a team that you're involved in, it helps us to stay smaller and more together. And so I encourage you to see how God's desiring that you get involved and get plugged in. That's on the ministry side of things. Now let's just reflect briefly on the numbers from last year, some of the logistical stuff, so that you kind of know what God's been up to around this place in spite of us.
God does a lot of great things. And some of these statistics that we're just going to have a couple of them to share with you, but they are a reflection of what God's doing. It's not that they're that important. That's why you find them at the very end of the state of the church. They're important only in the fact that they do tell us a little bit about how the results that God is accomplishing through you and through all those that come here. But obviously, we are in, some of them are more important than others. The first one I want to share with you is that last year we had 34 baptisms last year, and for us, we are really grateful for that. But more exciting that we're not only the fact that they were baptized, but we're also excited that we were able to witness those baptisms right here in our own building rather than going somewhere else, helping that to become part of our service so that every one of you can celebrate with that decision that someone has made. So we hope and pray that that will continue this year and that we'll just continue to see God work in the lives of people and get those folks that maybe are on the border there to make a decision to share in their faith and be able to be baptized in the name of Christ and us to be able to witness that. So that's one huge one that we are just very thankful that God's doing. I mean, when you look at things like attendance, and you can see today that we were worried about, you know, kind of running out of chairs, maybe a little bit here or there. God's been gracious to us. He continues to grow the church. It's not because of what we do, but it's because of what He does. He obviously has led people here because He wants them here. He tells us that He will give us what we need, and He continues to bring people here to be able to help us in that. And our attendance last year was up over 8%. Our giving was up over 12%. Over the year before. And that's big because we, at the same time, we were trying to build onto this building and do an expansion without ever having to borrow money. Over the last 3 years, it's been almost $250,000 given so that we could finish this building. We never had to borrow a dime. And I think that's something that we all are happy about. We knew God could do it, even though we may not have wondered how it was going to happen. But in the midst of all that, even our general fund giving has continued to increase. God's continuing to work in that way. And that's exciting. And there are a few more things that we want to do to finish off this building. Back behind us, there's still carpet to put up. There's another screen we're going to put up here in the middle so you people in the front have a better view of the screens. So there's some things like that that we're still working on. But for the most of the cases, anyway, we're done with this project. So just a few things left to do. So we're excited about what God is doing and what God is helping us with, because it's just been a great blessing. We couldn't do this on our own. We all need God's help, and He's blessed each one of you. He's blessed us, and in turn, you've given freely in order for us to do the things that we do and continue to serve people. So all these ministries, they all take funds to do that. The missions take funds. The benevolence takes funds, and you guys have been great in supporting us with that, and I just encourage you to continue to do so. The church is very stable when it comes to our finances, not because of us and not because of anything we've done, but because of what God does. But you know what? With all that in mind, all the things we've talked about so far, I just know that God has great things in store for us, that we have just touched the tip of the iceberg. And so I just believe that God is really working here. And Jeff, maybe from your vantage point, why don't you just share how God's working and how you see He's going to continue to work and opportunities that we will still have.
Oh, absolutely. I'm excited to see what that is. We want you guys to know, above all else, and I don't know if we've said it up here yet, but we love you. And we don't just say that. We really do. We love you. We pray for you. We appreciate you. And we're available to you. We're accessible to you. That's how we want to be. We want to be transparent. Thanks for letting us do this here and sharing our heart and, and the finances and where we're at and where we're going, that's a really big deal to us, because we don't want to be someone that sits in a room or someone that you can't get to and you can't ask questions to and it's disconnected. We're just like you. We struggle like you. We cry like you. We have difficulties with our children like you and our marriages like you. I mean, all that sort of thing. Temptation, whatever it might be. I believe, though, God can do great things through us individually and us as a body and in this community in 2015. But it's going to take your prayers. It's going to take your doing your part and us doing our part. And so join with us in that, if you would. Pray with us for that. Pray with us for other churches, too, that they might impact the community and the kingdom for him. Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us have this opportunity, Lord, to gather, to sit down and just to rejoice in what you've done, to look at the numbers, Lord, that really have nothing to do with us and everything to do with your grace and your mercy and your goodness. Father, we lift up 2015 to you, knowing, Lord, that we can do nothing in it that's any good, but through your help, through your wisdom, through your guidance, through your blessing, Lord, amazing things can happen, more than we could possibly imagine, hope, or dream of. Father, may each one of us here commit ourselves to do our part, to seek those who are lost, to grow ourselves deeper in you, and to love one another, Lord, in a tangible, practical way, so that our community is changed and the kingdom is grown. We love you, and to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray.